Hey, growing up in the church, two queer folks got the call and came together. I'm Daffo the Flower with the God Glow Up.
I'm Jay Barber, everybody's uncle and father. We're here offering a sanctuary for queer folks. Here, we believe God is for everybody. This is the Fellowship Hall on Inside Out.
Yeah, buddy, the Inside Out Collective illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA experience. We are proud to be a part of the legacy of cutting-edge public affairs programming on WPFW, home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM and WPFWFM.org. We are currently in a time where misinformation is running rampant. Our government is trying to erase trans and queer people. Our agencies for public good are being taken over and compromised amongst many other atrocities. So it's very, very important that you continue or start to support WPFW, where the truth is told and the community is supported. We have no corporate sponsors. All we have is you, the people. So if you want to participate in tonight's show, call us up at 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Today's topic, we're going to touch a little bit on gay marriage, but mostly the piece de resistance is our special guest, Anthony Green and Ziti Padilla. They are a part of, well, creator and a part of the Cage Birds Productions' new play, The Gay Best Man. But we're going to bring them on a little bit later. But first of all, before we get into the first harmonic selection, let's just check in. Jay, how you feeling, friend? What's good?
Yo, I'm feeling pretty good. It's Monday, you know. Start to a new week.
Absolutely. It is Monday. You know, we pushing. We almost to Thanksgiving break, you know.
Cannot wait.
Y'all get the whole week off next week?
No.
Oh, okay. I was about to be jealous. Yeah, we get
Wednesday. Yo, okay. Monday and Tuesday, we are in there. But Wednesday, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm very excited as well. So, you know, I rolled my ankle last Monday and, like, strained some muscles in my foot. And, you know, I went to the urgent care. They was like, it's not fractured. We're good. So I've been on crutches since then. And it really has not got, it's gotten better, but not as better as I thought it would get. And so God bless. I got an appointment at the podiatrist today. And we got it taped up. I got a little medical shoe.
Okay.
I'm out here. It's not fashionable, but I can walk without crutches. So
I love it.
I'm very grateful, you know, the little things. I will rock this medical boot so hard because those crutches, and I had a little scooter, so I'm rolling down the hall. As soon as the kids see me, it's all laughs. I'm like, that's fine. Y'all laugh me out. That's okay. That's all right. Because I was laughing myself out the whole time. I was so proud of myself for not falling when I probably should have just tucked and rolled and I would have been, you know, better off. But either way, we are grateful to be here on tonight. Yeah. So yeah, like gay marriage, like a week ago, there was some news, some noise in the news, in the headlines.
Okay. So you want to dive into it, or
yeah, let's dive into it. Kim Davis snake behind. So pressed.
So who is Kim Davis?
Yo, Kim Davis was a county clerk in Kentucky who responded to the Supreme Court's momentous Obergefell versus Hodges ruling in 2025. That's the ruling that gave same-sex marriage couples the right to marriage in the Supreme Court, right? Right. So she was off in Kentucky, like, not giving people their marriage licenses because they were gay, not giving same-sex couples their marriage licenses. Talking about...
I remember her.
Yeah, you remember her? Remember her?
I do.
Way back?
I do remember her.
Years ago, talking about God's authority. Girl, shut up. Girl, what? So, you know, it's your job to give marriage licenses, and it's legal, says the Supreme Court. I mean, it's... We shouldn't, you know, whatever. Anywho, I'm not going to go into that. But she tried to bring it back up. She tried to bring up old stuff and went to the Supreme Court not too long ago and tried to tried to get them to reopen the case and, like, turn over the Obergefell versus Hodges ruling. And, yeah, she just was very upset and very bitter and very pressed, and she was just mad for 9 years, and she's still mad on today because it did not work. She's still mad.
I saw, and I love the way that they just was like, yeah, we're not doing this again.
Yeah. And I mean, I was a little nervous because, you know, the Supreme Court is super conservative. Everybody is super, you know, everybody in power is very money hungry, greedy, going whichever way that the money goes. And the, you know, we're Christians. We follow Trump, not God, not Jesus, though. But, like, shut up, Yang. So I was nervous. I was very nervous when this came back around to the Supreme Court. But here we are.
I love it.
Me too. Okay,
it actually kind of shows that as a country we've kind of grown, because it's like not even something people are willing to talk about at this point. So that's kind of
yeah. I mean, you know, it's still a mostly conservative Supreme Court, but I'm grateful that they weren't even hearing this lady, because it's like, ma'am. And she was like divorced 3 times. Like, girl, worry about your own marriage. Worry about keeping your own house in order before you try to bust up into other people or break up people's households before they even get the paperwork to legally be a household.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yes.
Girl, people gotta chill. So, in spite of Kim Davis, I mean, I feel like this is like a universal wedding song. You know what I mean? I feel like we've all heard this song at a wedding. Some, maybe walking down an aisle or watching somebody walk down an aisle, maybe the first dance at the reception. But in spite of Kim Davis pressed behind, our first sermonic selection is none other than Ribbon in the Sky by the legend Stevie Wonder. Let's take a listen.
Thank you. May I once again, so that you too will understand, there's a ribbon in the sky for our love. It's a ribbon in the sky for our love, love we can lose. With God on our side, we'll find strength in each tear we cry. From now on, it will be you and I, and our ribbon.
Yes, that was the legendary Stevie Wonder with the ribbon in the sky. And this is the Fellowship Hall, the sanctuary for queer folks on Inside Out. And you're listening to, I'm Daffo, and we got Jay Barber. You know, we on 89.3 FM. Yo, we have some special guests on the line this evening here to talk about a play entitled The Gay Best Man, a Caged Birds production, running December 12th and 13th at the Chateau in Northeast DC, and their artistic journeys. We are so excited to have you both on the show. Please welcome playwright Anthony Green and actor Zidi Padilla. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. How y'all feeling?
Good. Really good, really good. How about y'all?
Yes.
Very yes.
Feeling good, feeling good. Did I say your name right? I tried to get...
Yeah, yeah. You said it with an accent. That's perfectly fine. It's amazing.
You know, the double R and the double L, I took a little Spanish, so I tried.
I can tell. Yeah, it was really good.
Okay. Good stuff. How was y'all day? What's going on? What's new with you?
Really good. It's good to see y'all again. I always appreciate y'all coming out to the plays, and I know it is slowly but surely approaching. So far, we have been doing rehearsals for the last couple of months, working with one of our new actors, some of the returning cast that y'all have already seen before. We have about, 3 weeks left, so we sweating. We're working hard, working real hard.
Yeah, earlier today, I was running my lines so that I can remember them by the time the play comes around, and it's going pretty good. I found a new app. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah. Nice. There's always an app for that. Absolutely.
Zini comes to us from the world of improv.
Yeah.
So this is their first scripted production.
Okay.
Love it.
Yeah, I love improv. It's like acting without a script. And so then now I have a script. It's kind of like, it's really fun because a lot of the times you're like miming things and you're like, I have a cup in my hands. Now I actually have a cup in my hands.
That part. No, that's amazing. That's amazing. Like, I feel like improv, you really have to be so very creative and like just real quick with it in order to keep, on like keep on line with the combo or with whatever's happening and keep the audience interested and be like, well, what are they talking about? Why would they say that? But, I really admire all actors, playwrights, improv, all the things. So shout out to y'all doing a thing for real.
For real. Shout out. Anthony, you are back. I would love if you could give us a short little, biography on who you are and what you do, and then hand that over to ZD to kind of get our audience aware of you and your background. We know it because you've been here. But people know.
Yeah, I'll give a little. So I am Anthony. I'm a Scorpio. I am originally from Memphis. I have been in DC for about 7 years. I came here to do sexual health work. I feel like my mission in life is to do work that bonds public health with doing community work. So I started Cage Birds Productions, and we specialize in doing stories that like affirm the Black LGBT QIA plus lived experience, right? Looking at stories, characters, identities that are like specifically ours and putting them on stage, because our experience matters, right? It's really affirming to be able to see people who look, love, and feel like you on stage. And that has just been my mission. I've been doing this since about 2017. And so far we've done shows in DC, Nashville, Memphis, Houston, Atlanta, Chicago. And as of next year, we will be in LA.
Nice.
Yes.
Wow.
All the places.
Yes.
Hell yeah. That's wonderful. Absolutely.
But you're so talented and amazing. I love every show that I've gone to.
I love seeing you there, because I know you're a fan of the original movie. Like, so we have this, our brand is taking like classic moments of Black cinema and then doing like, I don't say gay versions, like we take themes of it and we like reference the film. Like, if you're a fan of the movie, you'll enjoy it. But it's like an original story that like really like pays tribute, right? Like there'll be a reference or a joke or like a musical note or that reminds you of the original film, but it's a whole new story. I gotta say it up front, because I don't want folks coming looking for like a word for word like gay version of what they saw at the movies.
Absolutely. And that's dope, because it's like, you got the Blackness of it, but it's like, dang, I wish I was represented in it. I wish my gay self and my queer self or whatever was, but it, y'all give voice to that and you highlight that. And I think it's an amazing thing. I think it's just like community on community, like, because Blackness and is so beautiful, and queerness and, you know, blackness together is so beautiful. So, you know, shout out to everything that you do, man.
And I feel like we as queer people really love culture, right? And sometimes we're not always invited to experience the vastness that it is the Black culture. And I feel like we're doing these Caged Bird shows. We are rewriting the narrative, like weaving us into these stories that we like know and love. And I've just highly enjoyed it. It's been really affirming for audiences, but also affirming for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ziti, tell us a little bit about your background.
I know. Hello.
Yeah.
So I'm Ziti. I'm a Leo. And so, so I've recently, I've been doing improv, which has been super fun. I've been doing it at Baltimore Improv Group, which has been a great place. It's in Baltimore and it's like really close to like Penn Station. It's awesome. And then, because of that, I was able to get like, I got my first commercial, acting thing where I pretended to be a vampire, which was super fun. And now I'm here with Caged Birds Productions, and it's been awesome. Like, it's also been affirming for me because it's like, I saw it on like backstage and I saw that it was like Black and queer productions. And I was like, oh, I love being in community. This is so great. I will say though, I'm like one of the younger people on the team. So there are some references where it's like, I just missed the cutoff. And so, but it's like, but I'm trying my best. But I've been having so much fun, like getting to know everybody on the cast and just being around everyone. And Anthony's been so kind to me, like going from like improv to like acting, or like stage play acting. And it's been such a wonderful experience.
Yo, straight up. Sounds amazing. And yo, shout out to Baltimore too. Love Baltimore. I got a good Jay Flowers. She used to host with us, and she was like, she's from Southeast, Southside, but then she moved to Baltimore. So her little catchphrase was like, well, you know, I live in Baltimore now. Everything, like, well, you know, I live in Baltimore now. So, but shout out to Baltimore and your experience, Ziti. Oh, man. Yeah, that. I know on set and like in the rehearsals, I know y'all be cutting up, having a ball.
Yeah, it is really like a familiar like vibe and energy, because it is people of all across the LGBT spectrum. It is people of different like ages from different areas. Every time we do a new play, it feels like a family reunion, and we're always adding new second cousins and grandma still popping out more kids and bringing them up to the picnic.
I love that. So I have a couple questions for you, Anthony. What first inspired you to become a playwright, and how did your creative voice develop over time? Because you've been doing this for a while now.
Great question. So I am an only child, right? And I'm raised by a single mother who was at work two jobs. So I was at home alone by myself, often with no cable. So I would have to come up with my own stories to like entertain myself. And it wasn't until I took like a writing course in like college that I discovered that like these little stories that I come up with in my head are actually enjoyed by other people. And as I got older and started doing work in like the field of HIV, I was like testing these young people, but oftentimes like it wasn't that first test that came back positive. It was like that third or fourth. So I was trying to find a way to like keep hands on them or like have a relationship with them that existed beyond testing so that we could continue to build that. And all of them wanted to model or act or be poets or things. So I started setting up these like events where they would come and bring their friends, where they could like be the stars that they like wanted to be and see community people that like they know or see at the clubs or at the parks, like actually like doing something and telling stories. And upon seeing how prosperous that was for me on like doing HIV work, I was like, I want to do this on a larger scale, because my passion is bringing community together, seeing actors coming from like the improv world and poets and comedians all telling our stories together, like a for us, by us approach is just really so beautiful. Because I know a lot of us have been educated at predominantly white organizations, and we don't get to oftentimes like work with a space that's just ours, right? Or like have people who understand certain experiences that we do. So I've just been so blessed to be able to go on this like Cage Bird's journey. And the way that, you said, the way my writing has changed. Since I started doing Cage Birds, my first like feature play, it was about a friend of mine had passed away from HIV. And in our last conversation in the hospital, he made me the promise to tell, make a play that was like the story of his life. And his favorite movie was Waiting to Exhale. So I wrote his life story, but through the lens of his favorite movie with a bunch of like Easter eggs and references, something that would like delight him if he was alive to see it. And that show has just been such a blessing because community has like really embraced it. And that's the one we've been traveling, you know, with Foot First. And from that show, we did a Love Jones thing show. We've done a Set It Off show. We're doing soul food that we've just, okay, that is our niche. Because just like how Waiting to Exhale was for him as a gay man, these other cultural touchstones are somebody else's like favorite movie that just tells their life. So I've just been enjoying this.
Absolutely. Wow. That's amazing, yo. And like, so I just think it's amazing how you were speaking about how you wanted to create relationship with the youth or the young adults that you were testing. He was like, well, yeah, we're going to set up this show, you know, because relationship is so important when you're working with, youth or young adults or people who are marginalized or people who don't feel seen or things like that. You know, creating community is so important. I think that was so smart of you. So shout out to that. But I'm just loving it all. That's amazing. That's amazing, Anthony. Did that.
It has been very rewarding for me because for me, it's the intergenerational work, right? We have some like actors who are of that senior age and then working with like younger people coming up from, and Viti's not even in my generation. I learn a lot from them. And I feel like that is like the future of LGBTQIA+ work is intergenerational, right? We have so much to learn from each other at different stages. And I just feel like that is so beautiful.
Absolutely. I know that Sheila Alexander Reed, the mastermind of the Inside Out Collective, created Women in the Life. And that's like a nonprofit. And they started, you know, teaching people, LGBTQIA+ people, about having a will and, you know, domestic partnerships and things like that. All that to say, like, I partied with them when I was in my 20s. And I was born in the late 1900s. You hear me? So, you know, I'm a little blessed and highly flavored, I like to call myself, right? But I love going to their parties now. Whenever they have a party, be like twice a year. But it'll be people who are 70, 60, 50, you know what I mean? Just like, it's so beautiful to be in the room with your queer elders and just see generation after generation and y'all over there cutting the rug or, you know, they put on a little Aretha or Chaka Khan. You're like, oh, this is my jam too. Oh, I love this too. You know what I mean? So shout out to the intergenerational work as well. We are coming up on a break. So we're going to do the station break and then we're going to have a sermonic selection and then we're going to get back to the conversation. That cool with y'all?
Cool.
Excellent. All right. This is the Fellowship Hall on WPFW. Stay tuned. Right after the station break, we will be back with more.
Thursday, November 28th, WPFW honors the National Day of Mourning, commemorates the birthday of Jimi Hendrix, and offers music centering gratitude from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. Bushmeat opens the day with a birthday tribute to Jimi Hendrix. At noon, WPFW takes you once again live to the annual United American Indians of New England rally in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. Finally, James Funk offers music filled with gratitude from 3 until 7 p.m. That's all here on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. This is the Fellowship Hall, the sanctuary for queer folks on the Inside Out Collective. And you are listening to Daffo and Jay Barber and Ziti and Anthony. We out here rapping about some good things. If you want to participate respectfully, call us up at 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. 39. We are talking about The Gay Best Man, a Caged Bird production, and it's airing, or it's playing, right? Not airing, but it's playing December 12th and 13th. You can get your tickets. You need to Google it and get your tickets now, actually. You know what I mean? Google it, get your tickets now. But we're having a robust conversation. But before that, we're going to have a sermonic selection. You know, we always like to keep the tunes going intermittently. All right. So shout out to, you know, your mama and your grandma. They know this lady. They know this lady. The Pace sisters, LaShawn Pace. This one is, there's a leak in this old building. There might be a leak in Kim Davis's building in a roof or something, where she don't pay all them bills from all that money that she owe. You know what I'm saying? I digress. But check it out. Our second sermonic selection, Listen on Face. There's a leak in this old building.
When when you hear me sing my song.
I'm moving home.
I'm just moving a little closer to home.
I'm moving home.
When you see me praising the Lord, y'all, I'm just moving closer to my heavenly home.
That was LaShawn Pace. One of my favorites. One of my favorites. Welcome back to the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks on the Inside Out Collective on WPFW. Call us. Give us a call. 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. We are here talking to playwright Anthony Green and actor Zidi Parila.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Yeah, that works.
You didn't have Spanish class.
I did not. You can just say Parila.
So we're gonna get into the questions. I have one more question for you, Anthony. Can you share, or did you share with us the moment the moment that you realized storytelling was your calling, you from childhood?
I have a better moment. That's a whack moment.
Okay.
So we were in Atlanta doing a play, and it was the one about, you know, my friend passing away and his HIV journey with family and relationships and all that. And it was this super buff Black gay man in the front row. And he was sobbing like a baby. Like, he was under the lights. He was having one of them good old Ayanla therapeutic cries and didn't care who saw. And I was like, damn, I might be good at this. Like, because if it could, like, touch somebody where they just don't care how they're reacting. And then someone so steeped in appearance and how they show up in the world to, like, drop all that under them harsh lights. Beautiful.
Yeah, that had to be a good feeling.
Absolutely. Zidi, how did you tell us how you met Anthony and how you came to be a part of this wonderful production?
Yeah, so I auditioned. So that's the first time I met Anthony. I auditioned for the role, and so I played Winston. And ironically, my audition material, I was playing a character named Winston. So I feel like I manifested it.
Nice. Absolutely, absolutely. And you said this is your first, like, scripted role, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you having any challenges, or what do you like best? Are you like improv and scripted equally? You feel like you would go out for more scripted pieces? Are you going to be in the next production?
Yeah. So I like both improv and I like scripted. Mm-hmm. With improv, it's kind of like jumping off of a cliff and hoping for the best. And then with this, it's like, you already have the script here. You already know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that's like, or like the shift or the transition for me is like with improv, you want to look at your scene partner. With acting on a play, you kind of want to talk to the audience. So that's been something that's just like the physicality of everything. That's been something to get used to. And then also, like, with improv, you're also like, there's a rule here where you kind of like want to treat each other like coworkers. You don't want to get as close. But then with acting, it's like, you guys already know each other. You guys are more comfortable. And so just like getting that like level of intimacy, that has also been a shift. Mm-hmm. But it's been like, the more I get to know the cast members, the more closer that we get. And it's really nice. It's really cool to see too.
Nice.
That is really nice.
How long have you been acting, Zidi?
I've been acting, I want to say, like, I kind of started at the beginning of this year. Like, I started with improv, And then I continued into like acting into other things. But I also feel like I've been acting like sort of like all my life because I'm a trans man. And so like for like the first 15 years of my life, I was pretending to be somebody that I wasn't. And then eventually I just became myself. And it's been so freeing.
Love it. I love that for you.
Thank you. And it's so cool too, because I also play a cis character. And it's like, I never thought I would be able to do that, but I am right now. So it's like, it's kind of really cool. So it's just like we mentioned it kind of like earlier before, where it's like just seeing yourself in the role. And I feel so seen right now. It feels really great.
Yes. A true thespian.
You are. Yeah.
Yes.
I like that.
Right?
Yes. Absolutely. Anthony, back to you. So we talked a little bit about the stories that you've been telling, but what is your writing process? What does it look like? Are you someone who needs noise? Does it have to be silent? Do you need chaos? Like, what puts you into, because you, like you said, and I've gone to the plays myself, they're not strictly the story of the movie, right? It is, yeah, there's more depth.
My process is, I'm a pre-writer. So I usually write these things a year in advance, but just like in my head, or I'll like text myself a little note or a line. And then once the show is coming up, I gather all that and slowly start putting it together. Since I've been doing like professional writing where people are actually coming to my shows and I'm traveling across the country, I have gotten to the point where I can't finish a script until I've met the cast. So I have to cast it. I have the lines that I've written. I have like my outline or whatever, but the character isn't really finalized into like who they are until I've met the person who's going to play them. So when we're in auditions, I'm picking people who they can play the character in my head, but they bring something else to that. Even when we're doing those first like our table read and we're doing the virtual, I'm redefining this like idea of a character, and I love that. So that makes me like drawing people who inspire me, because like once I saw Zeedee in audition, I was like, that's a leading man right there. I want to see this person in a leading man, a romantic role. Like I love that, because when I first got started, I started with like fiction writing, right? So when you write fiction, you have the character down to a T, how they look, how they smell, how they feel. And then I'd have a hard time finding actors that fit that. So my new process is a little bit more fluid versus how like rigid it was originally in my head. And I'm loving it because I get different flavors than what I expected. maybe on paper, this person was a slim little twink, but the person who's the best to play it is somebody juicy with a little meat. So I'm loving being able to work with the talent and the greatness that comes my way. Because I've been blessed to work with some of the greatest actors in the DMV of like different experience, whether they're like new to the game, whether they're going to school at Howard, whether they've been doing this thing for years, whether they've been a poet or a comedian. I've been very blessed to have great people attracted to this work.
Hell yeah, absolutely. Wow, man. What stories are you excited to tell next? Like what's next up on the docket? What you got?
So next up, so for 2026, our plan is to do When Boys Exhale in LA. That's a big one. We want to go back to Chicago because Chicago just loved us. Like we had a great, and like my family is from, my parents met in Chicago. Most of my family lived there. It was just a beautiful show. We're going to do our Gay Soul Food show in Chicago in August. As far as new shows, we're going to do How Stefan Got His Groove Back in DC. So that's next year. And then we're going to do our Uncaged Film Festival, which is our Black LGBTQIA+ film festival that we do every year. And we usually like submit a new film for that like Cage Burns puts on.
Love that. All the things. All the things.
You busy.
Oh, we're busy. You busy. Booked. Okay. Hell yeah, I love that. I love that for y'all. What else? Yeah. What do you hope that young queer writers or playwrights of color take away from your journey?
I hope they take to not wait for a seat at the table, but to make your own damn table. If I were to still be like submitting scripts or waiting for this person or that person to see value and invest in me, I have learned that the moment people see value in me is when they're at my show seeing the work. And if I never took invested in myself and built up a team and found my own resources to make that show happen, nobody would see value in me. And I'm just like extremely thankful, because now since I've been doing these plays, like I'll be at random places and a stranger will come up and be like, brother, I just really love this show. Or they'll say a joke from the play at me. Even when I was in Chicago, before we did our first show, people, because the Black LGBT community is, it's interconnected, right? Just because we did shows in Atlanta, the girls in LA know. So do the girls in Houston know. So when we do a show, people are telling folks, and now we're getting to the point where people are telling me that they're coming to DC. We saw this show in Atlanta, but we're going to come to the DC show because we really enjoyed it. So I'm just on my, like, a young Tyler Perry-ish, like, love really it. Trying to, trying love to bring it straight to the people.
Love it. And I love that you said, just do it. Just do the thing. You know, sometimes we can get all caught up in like, oh, I'm not ready. Oh, I don't have this resource. I'm not prepared. Just do it. Just do the thing, because somebody is waiting for your art or your whatever you have to offer. And, you know, they're eating it up just as it is. And, you know, you progress as you keep moving forward. So I like what you said. I definitely like what you said with that.
And mentorship is a huge part of what I'm doing now. Like connecting with not only young like actors, but young playwrights, right? It has been a blessing to find other creatives who want to write. I have them come into Cage Birds. Maybe they come in as a production assistant or just to help us out with the shows. Maybe they work the door just to like give people experience. Because oftentimes when people are like applying for work in theater, people are asking for experience. But you can't get experience if no one hires you. So Cage Birds has been a really nice like stepping stone where folks can come in straight with like no experience, just some will. Some talent, and it is a lot of hard work. So I don't want people to get it twisted, especially if you come to Cage Birds. I am very, I'm very fun loving, but when it comes to getting the work done and getting what needs to be right, I am very strict. And I think that's what we need, right? I love that, because our community deserves a good story, and we need to hold ourselves accountable to make, even though we don't have a lot of resources, it costs nothing to tell a good story. And if you are committed and working hard at what you do, the story will be great.
Absolutely.
I love that, yes.
I'm just rapping. What you say, Jay?
I was just wondering if we were going to do our second sermonic selection or we...
Third? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We could go ahead and do that. And we
okay.
Come back.
Okay.
I'm just rapping and a rapping and a rapping, child.
This is actually from the Best Man soundtrack. So it goes along with tonight's theme, When the Shades Go Down.
Flowers, the lights, the bed, preparing for the hours. you're gonna like it from the first bite. Tell me what's your appetite.
Do you like it raw? Do you like it raw?
This dish best served warm on the skin. Come and taste the sweetness that's within. Oh,
you can
do sugar.
That was When the Shades Go Down by Allure. Wow, throwback. This is the Fellowship Hall, the sanctuary for queer folks. We're talking to playwright Anthony Green and actor Zidi Padilla. So how can someone get in touch with you, Anthony, if they want to volunteer or start their career in the industry?
Oh, great question. So you can hit us up on our Instagram at Cagebirds Productions. Also our website, www.cagebirdsproductions.com. But I always say people who are like interested in Cage Birds Productions, the best thing to do is to come to one of the shows, right? It's always better if you have like invested and kind of seen what the company is providing when you want to like actually join it, you know, show that you have an interest. One of the actors from this current show, I met him because he went to Gay Soul Food. And from Gay Soul Food expressing interest, we got him into our Gay Love Jones in Atlanta and blah, blah, blah. So my advice is to get you a ticket at Eventbrite, keywords, Gay Best Man, and see the show and connect with us there because we will all be there in person. We take pictures and stuff with the audience. We have conversations and things. That is the best way to like make yourself known and available.
Excellent.
Absolutely. Yes, a really good time.
Yeah, thank y'all so much for, man, pulling up on us, man. It was a wonderful show. We're so grateful. Can't wait to come out, pull up on y'all, take some pictures, cackle, you know, kiki a little bit.
Definitely gonna be in the house.
Absolutely. I'm so proud and honored to being the number, you know what I mean? To know such wonderful people in the community doing such amazing things. So yeah, y'all got to check it out. Caged Birds Productions. You know, you got to enunciate for the radio folks, right? Got to enunciate. Hit them up. Come to the show December 12th and 13th at the Chateau. Eventbrite, keyword, the gay best man, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, any final thoughts?
Yes, I want to make sure that we get a chance to thank y'all for creating this space, for having us. This has been like a vibe. We have been anxiously getting ready for rehearsal, and our time with y'all has taken us from like up here to here. So thank you. We needed that little...
Thank you.
Bless. So grateful for y'all, man. And yo, this is the Fellowship Hall. This has been a wonderful experience. We hope to hear from y'all next time. And yeah, thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
All right. We out, y'all.
Night.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
My brothers in the hood, in the high rises, on the mansions with the maids. We gotta come together, y'all. Come on. Case.
Trying to face another day. Gotta stay strong to endure this pain.
I'm dealing with right now. It flipped my whole life upside down. I don't want your help. I don't need your sympathy. No.
Help you up when you are down.
What can a brother do for me?
He can be your eyes when you can't see.
What can a brother do for me?
He can help me be the best man I can be.
And I'm feeling so ashamed.
Hello, I'm David Whetstone, and you're listening to member-supported WPFW Washington.